Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World episode 147. I'm Hirshan Jordan and joining me today I have Ashiti Mangani who is the COO of Find Satoshi Labs. How's it going?
Hey John, pleasure to be here, looking forward.
Good, good. So as we normally do, we've got plenty of stuff to talk about in terms of what Find Satoshi Labs is up to. You are pretty busy across quite a wide range of products. So we'll be talking about how the sort of vision for how those things fit together and getting into detail on some of the games in particular. But you have, like everyone does, I suppose, but it's interesting when I was looking at you on LinkedIn, you don't seem to have much of a games background or a crypto background. So to be working for sort of a games/crypto company, I thought that might be quite interesting to find out how you ended up at Find Satoshi Lab.
Yeah, sure. So yes, I've always worked at the intersection of technology, business and people. Mm-hmm. So whether it's been 3D printing of food or iris scanning for marketing.
Just stop you there, 3D printing of food. I mean, that says a whole podcast in and of itself.
Or building my own AI startup. I've always been involved at the cutting edge. So that kept me going. Mm. I'll start from the start. So I'm an engineer and MBA by background. And then I dived head in into the world of marketing, joined FMCG, started in India, then moved to US, worked with PepsiCo on their key brand books. That's when I did all of the iris scanning and cutting edge marketing work. Then moved to Europe, worked across Portugal, Spain, Italy, France, Germany. And then about 10 years ago, came to UK. Right after that, the bug hit me. So started my own startup. This was using AI for posture correction in fitness. So even before COVID, using the lens on your laptop, which is basically fancily also called this computer vision, we could map 27 joints in human body and give posture feedback remotely. So of course, after COVID, that took off. Once I exited from there, I started looking into what's next. Yeah. One of the things that I learned as part of that startup, we were funded by UK government for $250,000 and we did some work with older adults, so 60 plus people, you know, who already have mobility issues. So home fitness, remote fitness is a very good solution for them. So when we started working with them with our solution, we learned about data privacy and concerns with edge computing and client server. And it is then I learned the technical side and not just the price action side of on-chain activity. So indeed, on-chain activity still can't support scalability to the extent we can give millions of users. But I think there is a very, very good space where we can offer Web 2.5 solutions in a scalable way, right? Mm-hmm. So both custodial, non-custodial wallets and building them seamlessly. I started looking into more fitness-based solutions. Mm. That's when I came across Step-In. It was not an app then, so it was still in test flight. Talked to the founders, just loved what they were doing, just loved the vision, the innovativeness. That has always kept me excited. Mm. And I am so glad I jumped in. The rest, they say, is history. It was a rocket ship of my life. Every week, we were adding another zero to our user base. We had 1 million daily active user, the highest in crypto ever. There was a point we were flipping Bitcoin and Ethereum on exchanges in trading volume. And about 2 years on, we have been busy. People often are not even able to launch a fully functioning one product. We have not only launched Step-In, we have launched our own DEX, which is called Door. We have launched our own NFT marketplace, which is called More. We have launched an AI anti-cheat engine, which is called Smack within Step-In. We have launched an AI GC tool to basically using AI to create NFTs on More, which is called as GNT. We have also announced our latest game, which is going to be the first Web3 social game called Gas Hero. And we'll talk, I'm sure, more about that in a bit.
Good, good. Covered a lot of stuff there. Cool. Yes, no, it's good to sort of take a step back. And it is sort of interesting. So having sort of covered the blockchain gaming scene for a while, we had this sort of big peak with sort of, I guess, Axie Infinity was sort of the end of 2021. And I guess Step-In came actually in sort of like Q1 2022. So sort of the second wave of that. And I think what's both interesting for both those sort of products is obviously they saw tremendous growth, which was because they were good products. And also that was sort of what the market sort of, growth was in general in crypto and blockchain at the time. And then both of those obviously have seen sort of boom bust sort of cycles. But unlike other products that have seen boom bust cycles and then those products have ceased to exist, both in the case of Axie and Stepn, I guess the interesting bit is that they have sort of continued, and that sort of success has been the sort of launch pad for what you've been doing ever since. But I mean, what was it like at the time? Because it's sort of, as you say, you're sort of adding zeros to things all the time, which is sort of great, but maybe you feel a bit out of control. And then you're sort of, when it comes down again, you're sort of, it's not in your control either. So, but that can be, I imagine, disheartening. Probably not the right word to use, but I mean, what's it like being a COO, you know, the operational head of a company that's, you know, just has its own trajectory, and that you don't really have any levers to do anything to, you know, impact where it's going.
Indeed. It was very emotional. It was very emotional, I would say. We were working round the clock back then. Mm. And the thing is that it's not a day or due day or a week.
No.
It's week on week for months.
Yes.
So by the end of it, just on a very human level, you're almost going crazy. Your brain is working. I mean, if you're a mum, you can probably relate to it with weeks of no sleep. Yeah. All of us, all of our team, and we were a very small team, as are we even now, as I think most of great startups are built. Because even though I may be called a CEO, right from admin to the top job, you've got to be the one doing it. And the thing is, you've got to be the one doing it, because only then do you understand what's really happening on ground. So there's like that sort of corporate, you know, gap is not there. And to be honest, there are only two things that matter, which is product and community. And only once you're on hand, like all hands on deck, can you actively contribute into both of these and also tie them back together. Once you've got your ear to the ground, listen to what communities say, not just week on week for a monthly presentation, but hour by hour, can you feed that back into product, filter out the good ones, and then community feeds back on that. So that's sort of like the growth flywheel on its own. You don't need anything after that.
Yeah.
So yes, that was an emotional journey. Sometimes we would see, we would think, oh, are the numbers wrong?
yes.
But it just was like market forces are crazy.
Yeah.
But these are the times that also test your mental fortitude, resilience, I guess. This is what all the books about founders are written. And I'm so glad I was not founder here, because this just takes some extraordinary levels of resilience, which I totally incredibly credit our founders, which is Jan and Jerry, with. They are very capable of keeping a balanced head. Even back then, their vision was to build this ecosystem of products. Mm-hmm. Even when we were at the top of our game, they did not want to stop at just that. They knew that market can pull you right up there, but also bring you back down. And ultimately, it comes back to your product and community, you know, the two things that I was talking about. So they were already thinking about what we're going to do next, and which is what I'm really grateful about with this team, because we are kind of thinking two steps ahead. And that comes back and ties back to your question, that this is the reason why we not only survive, but we thrive, right? This is why we have a plethora of products, projects. We have a great community. Like, all you need to do is not take my word for it. Just go on our Twitter handles. So there's Stepn, there's More, there's FSL, and there's Gas Hero. At least four of these are community-facing products. And just check out the Twitter. Some are huge communities, like with 500k followers on Twitter. Some are smaller, relatively smaller, because Gas Hero is not even like launched, right? So it's got 36k. But the engagement, the feedback, the passion that people have, and being a gamer yourself, you can understand, like, everything that we get right is super right, but everything, every small thing that we get wrong, it's super wrong, right? I can't find the right word to even express the, you know, the anger of the community. Well, and it's lovely, right? Because then if your community is that passionate about your project, A, it holds you and your team super accountable. And B, you know you've got a winner in your hand. So we're actually quite thrilled about our launch coming up in December. Yes, I mean, I'm really, really thrilled, privileged, and honored to be part of this team, leading this team, where bear market or bull market has definitely an impact on business, but does not impact our ethics, the way we conduct our business, or the way we interact with our community.
Yeah. It's interesting you sort of, you know, talk about the, because, you know, in a sense, you know, we often talk about community in generally in blockchain, and I think it is sort of a double-edged sword that when, you know, as you sort of say, that the passion is, you know, often can be as negative for very small things as it can be, you know, for quite big. I think it's from the outside looking into these sort of projects, I imagine it's quite difficult to, you know, you just get a, you know, a relentless amount of feedback over everything all the time, which I imagine is just exhausting. Particularly when you're exhausting. When you have 500,000 people on your Twitter, I mean, that's just, you know, your Discord or whatever. How many people on that?
And the thing is that feedback is pretty direct, right? So if you ran Pepsi, the feedback would come in form of the panels that you did, right? So 20 user panels in a very polished format, in a nice room where you're sipping your coffee and you're sitting behind the glass door where they can't see you. So the feedback is very, very, very polished and far and few and solicited, right? These are the questions that we are asking. Cut to feedback in Web3, it's quite direct. It's in your face and it's for everyone to see as well. So I think it true to the principles of Web3, holds you very accountable. It's very transparent. It's super decentralized because a person right from east corner of the world to the westernmost corner of the world can give you instant feedback. There are no launch cycle. There are no research cycle. There's no post feedback. So in a way, it's interesting. This is what we've signed up for. This also gives us the joy of having 1 million active users in a day. But this is also what leads to what you call as exhaustion with this relentless feedback, but in a way, John, we consider it our privilege, and this is what I tell the team as well. This is true privilege to have a community of this size who is this passionate about everything we do. I mean, I would much rather prefer this any day over relentlessly working 20 hours a day and then doing something that nobody cares about.
And just not being anything. Cool, good, okay. I do want to talk about Gas Heroes, but to begin with, where are you with Stepn? Obviously, that's the sort of thing you're known for. That's the you know, the, in a sense, I don't know, the big product. Maybe that's the wrong term to use it, but obviously that's, you know, you're not 1 million users now, but I'm sure there's hundreds of, you know, probably tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people who still sort of use that. You should go in a bit of detail. It's sort of was the first of these move to earn products where you have a NFT sneaker or shoe, and then you move, so it has that sort of plays into sort of fitness, gamified fitness sort of thing, and then you have a tokens attached to that and you can level things up, and I mean that's the basis of it. Are you sort of, you know, is it, presumably that's a product you're, you know, talking about passion, very passionate about, and have a long-term plan for? So
yeah, I mean, Stepn is very much a mothership. It has still got a very active community. And like you said, we call ourselves like a move and earned. Yeah. So that people who are still there with us, and there's more than 500,000 monthly still, they are not just passionate about the earning. In fact, they're passionate more about the fitness and the community side of it. Like as we speak, our community spread in over 60, 70 countries. And as we speak, there are IRL events that happen from Chicago, Miami, LA to Europe in London, France, Germany, to Asia, Taipei, Taiwan, Philippines, Japan, Australia, every continent of the world, right? And this is something truly unique, even by Web3 standards, because this is so, Web3 is like known for the anonymity it brings, behind the scenes, monkey JPEGs. And this sort of like just reverses it on its head, where when you go to these events, there are people, not just crypto bros, there are people with push pram pushing their babies, with their spouses, with their moms, dads, mom-in-laws, people creating their first wallets, people buying their first NFTs. And this is what really Stepn is all about. I mean, we did a marketing contest where we sort of had like on our birthday, so 1 year, 2 year anniversary, we ran a 4 week contest. 1 week of that was like what impact Stepan has created, right? So Stepan and the challenge. And it was touching beyond words. Like you can just search the hashtag in Twitter and it'll throw up all those stories where people recovered from arthritis, people had amazing weight loss journeys, people recovered for cancer, because it's not just about fitness, it's about the habit that it forms, it's about the community, both IRL and online, that you discover. And so much that goes along with it. So I think that's what Stepan is about now. And it's a very healthy environment. It's a very healthy environment because it's not just speculation. It's not just the financial aspect. It's not just the speculators. It is people like you would in any app, not just a Web3 app, bond with like-minded people and use a great product. Simple. So that's where Stepan is. We recently announced pretty big partnerships. So we were obviously one of the first few apps to get listed on App Store, but we also became one of the first, I would in fact say the first gaming app or the consumer app to integrate Apple Pay. So now you don't need to create a wallet to purchase NFT. You can just double click the right hand button and just that onboarding and on ramp is super easy. Then we announced the integration of Apple Music in our app. And just as of last week, we announced a Big Banger integration with Steve Aoki, who is, of course, a Grammy winner DJ. So both from a product perspective as well as from community and marketing perspective, we're quite active. We have every plans to be. So stay tuned. We have something really big coming in December and as well as Q1 of next year, something that community has been asking for a long, long time.
Good. I often think sometimes it's the problem when these sort of assets become very expensive because speculators are coming in. Exactly the same with Axie, was that sort of, you know, no one else cares about anything about the product. Everyone's just like price. And for people who would be actually quite interested in the product, it's actually much nicer now to come into a product where, well, this is just sort of normal. The price is obviously much lower than it was before, but that's actually makes the entry level sort of good for people who are actually interested in it. And actually that's where you sort of get your sustained sort of users, rather than these sort of people who are buy 10 of those because they're going to go up in price, which is, you know, in some ways sort of nice, in some ways very crypto, but equally, you know, you can't build a business on that sort of speculation. So it's sort of good to see that it's still sort of going on. And I think sort of play to earn is, again, as a genre, plays into a lot of those things, as you say. It is, you know, it is about making people move around more, and I guess one criticism would be it tends to appeal to people who are sort of into that anyway. So I'm sort of quite into move to earn stuff, but you know, I quite like running, so it's sort of a free extra for me. But in the long term, thinking about sort of, you know, where sort of communities are in sort of health and movement, these sort of things are good, I think, going to be, you know, seen as increasingly sort of valuable. Good. So I don't want to talk too much about, I probably can't even say them, Mua, do you say it? the DEX and the marketplace, Mua and Dor.
So the way we look at FSL is so if you were to construct a mental model, imagine FSL or our governance token GMT at the heart of it. And then we have a few consumer facing products. So Stepan in lifestyle and fitness is one. In gaming, we have got Gas Hero. We'll announce something in social next year. And then to support the consumer onboarding on these products, we will also build our own infrastructure to support them. Okay. So from an infrastructure standpoint, we've got our own DEX, which supports the liquidity swaps. We've got our NFT marketplace and trading, where we trade all these NFTs, and that is more.
You didn't need to do that, did you? I mean, that's quite unusual. There are a few projects that sort of have done it, but they've tended to be running on their own sort of blockchains. I mean, you know, obviously on Solana, not that you're just, these are just on Solana, but you know, there are lots of NFT marketplaces and there's DEXs all over the place. So it's sort of, you know, a little bit counterintuitive in that there is that infrastructure out there that you could rely on.
And this is why I meant that I applaud the vision of founders, because the vision is to build an ecosystem of products around GMT, right? Not having isolated things or rest on your laurels. I mean, they could have easily, very easily, just built Stepan and just laid back.
Yeah.
right? Let GMT go up in price or down in price, who cares, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we've gone on to build aggressively and relentlessly in this space. Mm-hmm. And this is why all of this value accrual comes back to GMT, right? So it's not just DMT earning and burning in Stepin. It's not just DMT mm-hmm. earning and burning in Gas Hero. It is also the liquidity fee on DEX. Mm-hmm. It's also the voting and minting on more that captures and accrues value back mm-hmm. to GMT so that it no longer becomes a defunct token or a speculative token devoid of utility. To mm-hmm. build utility off the token and to keep adding value back to it, you've got to have a robust ecosystem of products with active users. And that's sort of the intent to build infrastructure or apps.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. And but I guess one of the issues, I mean, certainly something like an NFT marketplace is even the DEX is sort of about liquidity. So in a sense, mm-hmm. I can see why you do that for your ecosystem, but then it becomes sort of, if no one's using it, it's sort of, is it worth sort of supporting that from that point of view?
Yeah, great question. And this is why our attempt is mm-hmm. not building an NFT marketplace no. where people can come and trade blue chips. No. If they want to, they're very welcome. The intent here is to A, either support small guys, so retail creators, so which is the product we have, Fairmint and GNT, which is the AIGC Fairmint tool. But most importantly, support our own ecosystem of raffle mints and trading. So for example, on 13th of this month, we will have the Gas Hero Genesis auction that'll happen on Moore. We will have a lot, the trading volume already on Moore for Gas Hero NFTs is mind-boggling. If I remember right, it's already greater than top five collections on Polygon.
Okay, okay, good, good. Well, that brings us nicely onto Gas Hero. And I guess that's the other sort of interesting thing, taking a little bit of a step back. Obviously, not obviously, but Stepin was on Solana, and you know, part, I think, of that product's particular sort of trajectory was it was the whole sort of Solana, still at that stage, Solana was still very much sort of almost like a meme coin, and so the growth of Stepin was very much seen as like, yeah, I guess it was you and maybe Star Atlas, see these really sort of, you know, very high end products on Solana and sort of a bit of a flywheel going on there, and I guess, you know, for someone like me looking on the outside, the fact that Gas Hero isn't on Solana and is on Polygon was sort of interesting. So I don't know if you, I mean, I don't know if you, you know, whether you can talk specifically to that, but clearly. You guys are, even though the sort of your history is on Solana and probably a lot of your activities still on Solana, you're equally, you know, open to other, you know, blockchains.
Indeed. I mean, again, because we're building an ecosystem of products and applications to support our community, we would not want to be unidimensional in our choice of chain or our community growth. So even with Stepin, we started out with Solana, but we also are on BSC, Binance Smart Chain. We are also on Ethereum. Mm-hmm. Similarly for Moore, it's also on Ethereum as well as on Solana. Mm-hmm. And with Gas Hero, we wanted to try out new things. And we tried out Polygon, which is not to say that our next realm may not be on another chain, maybe on Polygon, maybe on something else. So we really do not want to restrict our imagination, our building capabilities, our development, or our community growth to one specific chain. And that's always been the attempt, even before Gas Hero.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. That's good. And so, yes, so Gas Hero, I've seen sort of, you looked at the white paper and sort of seen the screenshots and stuff. And you call it, which is interesting, a social Web3 mobile game. So what was the thinking behind it? To some degree, it looks sort of, you know, like a, you know, it's sort of a mobile game, you know, sort of traditional mobile game in the sense of sort of some of the sort of gameplay in there. But you particularly saying social, so how why are you using that as a descriptor for it?
Yeah. So there are things that we learned from Stepin, right? Mm. So one of the things was social.
Yeah.
We were not able to implement the IRL social components in game very effectively. It happened outside of the community, so which is why we knew there's a need that exists which is not catered to, which was not catered to in the product.
Okay.
The second was the asset surplus. So how does maintain or sustain the economy?
Yeah,
and the third was the game experience itself, right? So how do we go beyond luck? How do we make people invest beyond their money with their time, energy, and effort? So combining some of these learnings based on these three core principles, we wanted to build a social game, a game where people can collect NFTs and fight for three core human needs, which is fame, wealth, and power. Yeah. So it uses, of course, the GMT token, and there is a huge backstory. Would you want me to get into it?
Yeah,
or...
it's fine. Yeah, why not?
Okay. So I'll try and be very, very brief, because I do want people to get excited and check out our white paper, which is, by the way, so detailed and sucks people in. So the game is set in 2082, basically during a technological revolution involving AI, IoT, and quantum computing. So what happens is a rogue AI initiates a global nuclear strike. So that brings humanity to sort of annihilation or brink of annihilation. And we call this as an extinction war. And in the anticipation of this chaos, basically United Nations initiate something called this Operation Spark in 2025. And these secret Spark laboratories are established beneath the cities as a failsafe. Now, in the laboratories, there are clone machines, a collection of DNA samples, and therefore they were designed to begin human cloning if left without human interaction for a month. So after the nuclear strikes, the cloning protocols were triggered, resulting in the creation of Gas Heroes, which is basically named after natural gas that powers these laboratories. So therefore now Gas Heroes play a key role in humanity's fight for survival and reclamation of these lost cities in this post-apocalyptic world. And as the civilization begins to rebuild, the game poses the question whether humanity can break out from this past and survive the future. So that's what Gas Hero is all about, where you battle, you collect NFTs, and you earn GMT. And there's a lot of strategizing involved in order for you to get this power, wealth, and fame. Like there are clans people can form, there are taxes people can levy, there are communities and various appeals. I mean, so many interesting things that have already started happening. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. And you said the mint's happening on the 13th of November?
That's right. So the auction, so it's a Genesis Hero. It's an auction and it's whitelist only. So we absolutely don't want like whales coming and sweeping the floors. So which is why it's one mint per wallet. It happens on more and the whitelist happens via Discord and Zili quests.
So I guess that's already sort of playing into my question of why are you building these marketplaces when you can use someone else's? Obviously, the point is you can launch your own games on it, and that's you have much greater control over all those sort of aspects. And in terms of the, I don't know how much it's sort of public. In terms of sort of game launching and how you're going to, often that's a bit of a process of rolling out various sort of open closed sort of tests and stuff. Is there anything sort of you can talk about that on the timeline?
Yeah, so we are we're very hopeful of launching the game in December.
Really?
The team is completely heads down building. Yes, we've had a successful UGC phase where people have actually, sent in their designs for these Gas Hero NFTs, and we've selected them. They actually stand to win royalties. Millions of dollars in prizes. There's been lots of giveaways as well around common hero NFTs, around what is called this base construction vehicle. So all of these things that get you started in the game. There's been Gas Hero badges that have been given to Stepin community and from Stepin community as well. There have been airdrops that have happened to OG sneaker holders within Stepin community. So there's been a healthy bit of cross-pollination. Both within Stepin community and very much outside the Stepin community, from gaming communities, from Web3 communities for Gas Hero. So I think team has done really well on prepping for this launch. We are very happy with our development on product side. It's a very, very well thought through game. I would really encourage people to check out our Twitter, which is Gas Hero Official, or check out the website, which is gashero.com, and definitely go through our white paper.
And I guess the other thing maybe didn't make clear, Stepan was a mobile game. So again, sort of a little bit early into that sort of platform. Obviously, if you're a move to earn game, you have to be mobile, because otherwise how can you tell how many steps people have done? But it's still the case, I guess, that app stores sort of, you know, have made things clearer over the last sort of year, but it's still not the easiest place for sort of Web3 products to operate. So given your experience with Stepan recently, do you feel now that, you know, there's some restrictions, but you're pretty happy that you can do sort of as much, you know, quite a lot of what you want to do in terms of, you know, using blockchain assets and operating through app stores?
Indeed, this is what has given us the confidence to launch Gas Hero, even without launching a new token, just using existing communities, using the principles of NFT economics, because there used to be like this belief of launching a new token for every game, which is now translated to non-fungible tokens, and therefore using the Genesis NFT drops, very small in sizes, so from 500 to 2K NFTs, and then rewarding the people who get those Genesis NFTs so that they are free to sell in the market. There is liquidity in the system, but as well as holding it for future perks and therefore future collections.
Cool. And in terms of, you know, sort of audience, do you think this is something that appeals, you know, are you sort of using your existing market, people who understand a little bit about blockchain or interest in blockchain, and obviously that, I guess they're your core audience, but how quickly do you sort of go, well, it's free to play game, it's on app stores, if you like games, have a go at this one sort of thing? Because you can sort of cover, I think, both of them off, but it's sort of, I wonder if most companies look like they're choosing one or the other at the moment.
So in terms of appeal to the audience, I think we are appealing to anybody who wants to play a serious game in Web3, who is not just here for the financial or the speculation aspect, by which I mean we're not only favoring the whales.
Yeah.
And last but not the least, our complete focus and intent is to build a sustainable game, is to give people that joy, is to build some legacy that lasts, is to build a game that people really want to play, right? For the sake of playing, with great UI UX, with great strategies, with great community, with great thinking. And we're very comforted, to be honest, John. We launched the community testing slots, only 3,000 of them. And it's going to roll out the end of this month. And we're very, very comforted with how our beta testing with our internal teams, extended teams, and the community testing is playing out. I think it's going in the direction that we wanted it to go. So beyond the financial aspect.
Good. And I guess other sort of timing wise, obviously it's not anything you have control over, but over the last sort of month or so, we've seen a sort of a slight warming up of the sort of crypto markets in general. We don't necessarily want to expect too much in the future, but it's sort of nice for it not to be going down all the time. I mean, how much those sort of wider cycles, obviously, is something that you guys have sort of, you know, fully experienced. Is that anything you can sort of build into your planning, or is that just sort of you try and, you know, as much as possible sort of abstract out what's going on in the market and just focused on, you know, this is the stuff we have control over. Anything else is, you know, we shouldn't worry about it because it's not within our sort of control.
You know, John, it takes months and months, probably up to years, to build a serious product. And similarly for Gas Hero. So it's great that the market is warming up now, but obviously this work has gone in like months and months and months before that, when the market was not looking up, when there were crashes all around, whether from FTX to Celsius. From my limited experience in life, I've learned that let's focus on things that we can influence and control. Macro is definitely one thing that we as a company, or even crypto as an industry, has zero control over. I mean, Google lost $200 billion in a day, right? I wouldn't even go into the Fed, the interest rate, the liquidity crunch, the things, right? beyond a point, these are the things that you can't worry about, because the more you worry about, the less productive it is for your own community and your own products. So we definitely, and in fact, we don't even allow price discussions and these kind of things in our internal, because it's counterproductive. It's absolutely counterproductive, right? So on all dimensions, on morale dimensions, on team, on just like human capital, definitely from a work perspective in terms of product and community. So yeah, we like to focus on what we can influence, which is just keeping our heads down and building.
Good, good. No, I think it's very sensible. Well, thank you so much for your time and your enthusiasm and going into all the detail. That was a good plenty of gas heroes. That was good as well. I'm sure your product team are happy to hear you going through
I hope so. I
all
mean,
the
I'm super excited.
backstory.
I'm super duper excited. So yeah, I really can't contain my enthusiasm.
Good, good. And thanks to you for watching, listening to the podcast, however you are consuming it. Every episode, we're talking to the people who are building out this new way of playing games, this new way of enjoying games, this new way of owning things in games. I think it's personally fascinating. I hope you do too. So please subscribe, and I'll come back next time to see what's going on in the world of blockchain games. See you then. Bye-bye.